This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast is now on YouTube. Go on YouTube and search Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast and click that subscribe button to never miss an episode. Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast, or if you've been on Twitter, EPEEP for short. My name is Wrestling Chris G, and we are about to go over episode 15 today, but it's not just me today. So on the other line with me, he is the one that got his ticket late. It's good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie man, how you doing?
Yeah, that ticket stuff, especially with recent events, kind of gave me anxiety. so that's not fun.
COVID's a bitch.
COVID's a motherfucker. And I kind of take issue with your intro. It's never just been you.
I kind of say that every single week, don't I?
Yeah, it's never just been you. We've done 14 of these. We're doing 15. I mean, it's never just been you. It's not like I'm a surprise. I'm not doing a run in on this son of a gun.
I mean, hey, maybe one day it won't just be me and it won't just be you. Maybe we might have a threefer.
You were about to say threesome.
No, I was not.
The hell you weren't.
You're my bro and everything, but I think there's a boundary that we need to put that board right in front of us, like bam, like a macho. Just get that board and just boom.
Well, what's that song from SNL? Something about it not being gay if it's a three way.
It's not Dick in a Box.
No. It's the three-way song or whatever. Yeah,
but Justin Timberlake sings that song too, doesn't he?
Yeah, it's Timberlake and, I mean, probably Andy Samberg. And they're talking about how when there's a honey in the middle, there's some leeway and all that stuff.
Okay, hold on. SNL.
Now, wait, be careful now. You can't be putting copyright. Make sure your volume's...
Oh, no. three-way song. Let's see. What does it come up? Oh, it's called Three-Way, The Golden Rule.
The Golden Rule. That's it. There you go.
Yes.
Wait a minute. We can't afford to be getting a strike now.
It's Justin Timberlake and Lady Gaga is what they have on here.
Okay. Yeah, oh, that's right. I forgot she used the female part.
Yes, she was. And Samberg.
And okay, so it was Samberg. Yeah, I couldn't remember who the female was or the female vocals were.
Yeah. So there you go.
So, you know. So this is a Pokemon podcast. This is probably the weirdest intro we've ever done.
Well, you're the one that brought up three ways.
No. You were gonna start and you veered off. The last second.
Well, you didn't have to point it out.
Excuse me for having decent hearing.
Shut up. So today's episode that we're going over, a peek behind the curtain. We're kind of doing a twofer tonight because we thought this was a two-parter episode, which we found out could possibly classify as a three-parter.
Yeah, if we really wanted to stretch it. But then, you kind of pointed out the next one after So episode 18 also kind of continues along in that same line, and
yeah,
you know, at a certain point you got to cut it off. And these two episodes, 15 and 16, are classified as part one and part two, and that's kind of where we're leaving it, because otherwise you'd never really break it off.
We'll be on part 123. So let's see. And I want to give an alert to everybody. The way that we're doing this podcast, because I know it's going to come up, episode 18 that we're doing a few weeks from now, we are doing Beauty and the Beach. We're not jumping from Island of the Giant Pokemon straight over to Tentacool and Tentacruel. We are actually going to do the lost episodes or the banned episodes here in the U.S. in order. So we, even the ones that have not been translated from Japanese over to English, or I mean, not translated, but because they have, but the ones that have not been dubbed over in English, we will be doing those episodes. So even the ones with Jinx being black, that for some odd reason, people are all up in arms about here in the U.S., but that's neither here nor there.
Well, I mean, it's blackface.
Yeah, it
you
is.
Know, you can't be out there, you know, doing that shit.
Yeah, I mean, and I get it, but fucking, I grew up on Jinx being black with pink lips, and I didn't think anything about fucking black lips or blackface. I was about to say black lips, blackface. So it is what it is, but we are going to go over every single episode, and 18 in a few weeks from now will indeed be Beauty and the Beach with the infamous James getting implants in that episode. So
now, hold on a second. I take issue with your terminology, and the only reason I take issue with it is because we're close enough to that episode where I can see the synopsis on Wikipedia.
Okay.
And Wikipedia terms it that he's just wearing inflatable breasts.
Well, while we're going over our historical event, why don't you hop on over to good old YouTube and look at a 10-15 second clip and you make your own judgment.
No. Because I don't want to confuse myself with the episode. You know, I got the episodes we're covering on a second screen. I don't want to muddy the waters.
All right. Well, when you watch that episode, I will give you your own personal opinion, because that's going to be a full episode in itself. Like we'll kind of dive into why this episode was banned, because I mean it was dubbed over in English, but they took out a few scenes and just different things like that in this episode, because this episode aired two and a half years after the lineup, and it was classified as a lost episode. So,
right.
So we will dive into a little bit of the background on that episode once we get to it. So, but today's episode is called Battle Aboard the Saint Anne, or translated from Japanese, it's called The Saint Anne Battle, which could kind of go two different ways in this episode. And we'll kind of jump into that. But I mean, there is there's two battles on this ship, but I could also see them classifying it as the battle as to what happens in this episode.
Yeah. You know, you kind of say you kind of go calling it the Saint Anne battle. Like I'm more drawn to the second part in that respect. You know, because obviously shit doesn't really kick off in this part till obviously towards the end, which leads into part two.
Yes.
But
Pokemon has some dark episodes in the first season. I mean, we're just now getting up to grasp with like the actual story, but even in a couple weeks we have a three-parter with the psychic showdown, the psychic gym. So I mean, we, and that's those are some dark episodes in itself. So
yeah, and I'm looking forward to those.
Yeah.
You know, I think the show's kind of starting to feel itself a little bit. You know, this is 15, you know, you're going to be 20 odd episodes in, you know.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, it's just, you know me, I kind of have a weird time ending sentences.
So, I'm not going to throw out what the surprise is yet, but I'm kind of guessing the way that the last week of December is kind of lining up. How, if we continue our trend right now, we're going to be doing part one of the Psychic Showdown episode the last week of December before 2021. So I might push that episode to the first week of January. And me and you were talking about a little holiday surprise for our fans. So I think that might go out that week, so we can kind of get part one, part two, and part three in line with January to start the year off fresh with some good-ass episodes.
And, you know, we've been talking pretty much throughout the day, and it's just kind of crazy to think that we're that far ahead.
I know. So, we've told people, we do like one or two episodes every time we record. So when you're hearing this episode, this is probably about 2 months. We recorded this episode about 2 months prior.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But we have a nice little catalog that we're rolling with. So it's good. It's good. I like it. And people are enjoying it apparently. So, and the downloads are there, and I'm really enjoying what people are saying. We've gotten a little bit of feedback now, and we got the future is looking bright for this show.
Which is just kind of an awesome thought.
Yes. So, normally we don't take this long at the beginning of an episode, but as you know, well, you should, because you're on episode 15, but it's historical time. So this episode dropped in Japan July 8th of 1997, and here in the States, it dropped September 28th, 1998. And Doug, I believe we talked off air that you are going to go over your historical event first.
Yes, because mine happened all the way back in 1938. It's not only it's a sports happening, but it's Cubs related, so that, I mean, that cinched it. You know, the freaking Pope could be born and I'd probably still go with a Chicago sports related thing.
just like the Cubs defeating the Sox yesterday, but
yeah, but that's okay. You're getting one back on us tonight.
Oh shit.
But that's good. You know, the Sox needed a rebound. They've lost like seven in a row.
Had to get that last rub in.
I mean, at one point, y'all were in discussion for the number one seed in the American League, and at this point, you've dropped all the way down to seven. I mean, you're still in the playoffs, but you went from having potentially home field advantage throughout the American League championship to being on the road in the first round.
Yeah, let's not talk about that. So your event in 1933.
Yes. You dick, it's 38.
38, my bad.
You dick. Yeah, so this is one of the more famous home runs in Cubs history. It's kind of got legendary status throughout the entire league. I would say it's one of the more kind of tall tale, well, not tall tale in terms of the fact that people made it up and people have just gone along with it, but this was the day, September 28th, 1938, of the famous homer in the Gloman. It was hit by Gabby Hartnett in the bottom of the ninth inning in a game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. This is in Chicago. This is well before lights were installed in 84, I want to say.
They didn't have lights in baseball until 88. Whoa, hold on.
They had lights, but Wrigley Field didn't get lights until 88 because Wrigley Field is in the middle of a neighborhood.
Okay.
So you put, you know, professional grade stadium lights in the middle of a daggum block, you know.
You're blinding people.
Old Granny Smith is trying to sleep at, you know, 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean,
I got work at 5 in the morning.
That was a whole big thing. The lights actually went in on August 8, 1988. So it was 8-8-88. It was a whole big thing. You got me sidetracked.
Okay.
Yeah, no, this is so this was the bottom of the ninth inning. The game was dangerously close to being called, and then it would have been deemed a suspended game, which would have meant it would have had to have been picked up at that exact point the next day, which would have messed things up because you can rest your players and that would have messed things up. And this is the middle of a pennant race. So Gabby Hartnett, who was the catcher at the time, stepped up and hit this home run on a two-strike pitch. Wrigley Field was a madhouse after that. The ball, you could clearly tell that it landed in the bleachers, but, you know, it just kind of disappeared into darkness and fog. They carried that momentum into a 10-1 victory.
That is crazy.
They ended up winning the pennant. But then they got mollywopped by the Yankees in the World Series. One of the crazier circumstances for a home run. There's numerous articles about it. One of the quirky things about baseball, and it just so happened to land on this day, and I fell right on it.
Well, good shit. Good shit, Doug. And thank you for giving us that nice little history lesson there. I love it. Love it. Love it. Mine's not going to be as drawn out because
I took up the time.
I have 30 seconds now. Damn it. My date, September 28th, 2015, was the day that Trevor Noah took over for Jon Stewart for The Daily Show on Comedy Central. And might I say, he's doing a good job. I do like his sense of humor. I do miss me some Jon Stewart because I think Jon Stewart had that more dry humor where he'll just say something and just stare at you. But Trevor Noah, he gets to the point, and then he goes to the next point, and then he gets to the next point, and then he'll bring it right back. So, I mean, he's doing a good job.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty quick, with his wit. And obviously, he kind of shook things up when he came in because he's I'm going to put my foot in my mouth. Is he South African?
That's a good question. Let me find out. He's South African.
Hey, all right.
Good catch, Doug. Wow. All right. I would have never guessed that.
So, you know, he kind of shook things up because, you know, the late night scene has traditionally been dominated by white men, and you know, him coming in is obviously a completely different viewpoint, and you know, he's got some really good commentary and seems to be very popular. I never really watched The Daily Show, but I mean, I'm aware, you know, I'll catch a clip or two, you know, just scrolling through on Twitter or whatever.
And he's been doing a really good job during the whole pandemic as well, like doing the show from his house, and the way that he's done it, it's just amazing.
So yeah, I mean, he's really kind of taken that ball and ran with it. So
yeah, like I said, mine's not as drawn out. If you haven't taken a looking at him within the past 5 years, go ahead and take a look. His anniversary actually is, as of this recording, is in 2 days.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, we're recording this on the 28th of September. So, yeah, that's how far back you're listening to this episode. But yeah, good shit. I like it. So, all right. So, you ready to get on into today's episode, Dougie?
Definitely. These were... I mean, it's going to be hard to not talk about next week's episode, but these were some pretty eventful episodes.
Yes. So, all right. So, in our episode today, let's see. We start this episode with Ash walking across, or Ash and the gang walking across a bridge into the next town that they're going into so they can try to catch a boat to go to their next town. And Ash is gleaming from ear to ear because he just won his Thunder Badge. And, oh, we got cocky Ash again.
Well, yeah, but this one's warranted. You know, because he and Pikachu stuck to their guns last week, and it paid off. And I think he's allowed to spike the football a little bit.
He is. And the fact that Misty's not giving him shit at the beginning of this episode for once is a plus.
Yeah, so. She's smiling just as much as he is. So,
after he's gleaming from ear to ear, we get the title of the episode. And we now meet up with the gang standing right in front of a big, huge, huge boat, which they call the Saint Anne. And Misty is kind of like got the sparkly eyes, and so does Ash, but Brock has to kind of tear them down and go, yeah, we'll never be able to afford a ticket to get on a boat like this.
And Misty just crumbles.
Yeah,
just bang.
Just like, she, I mean, they're all down because Brock says it, and Brock gets a gloomy face like, I want to be on that boat. There's a lot of pretty girls on that boat.
Yeah, we get proper horned up Brock here in a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to get to that part. As the gang is looking down and all defeated and trying to figure out how they're going to get to the next town, here comes two schoolgirls. We'll jump into who they are. I mean, obviously, it's Team Rocket.
No.
You didn't know?
No way.
I mean, well, yeah.
They had blonde hair.
I know, but.
The
I mean,
fuck out of here. Just stop. Oh, get the fuck out of here. Quit. Oh, cut the shit. Knock it off.
tell me you were not attracted to the blonde haired.
Well, I had all kinds of weird feelings that I'd rather not discuss.
Oh, shit. Okay. So, these two schoolgirls who are Jesse and James dressed up, they had their tan on in this episode. They're They're a different color. They're a nice orangey color. They both have on lipstick. and I, you see, these episodes can't air today because then you have people all up in arms. But I think this is fucking.
You can't do anything these days without looking over your shoulder twice.
I know, but I think this is freaking hilarious. But Jesse pops up and goes, "Hi, you are today's winners, and today you win 3 tickets aboard the St. Anne." And Ash, Misty, and Brock are kind of skeptical on it, but of course they end up taking the tickets.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, after about 5 minutes of being coerced into it, I mean, it's a free ticket on a luxury ship.
Yeah, but I kind of jumped the gun. How about every single time that Jesse is telling Ash that he's won these tickets, James is in the background going, "Oh!"
Hated that. Hated that.
With his nice little lipstick that he has on. Just like, "Oh!" After every line that Jesse was saying. You hated that?
Hated it. Once or twice would have been fine, but every time there was a goddamn pause in the sentence, yeah, no, it wasn't, he wasn't just saying, it was cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Ooh.
Hated it. Hated it. Like nails on a goddamn chalkboard.
Oh, yeah, he's like, cool. I'm listening to it right now. It's just,
yeah,
hilarious. But yeah, they end up getting the tickets. And hold on, what? Oh yeah, she's saying, "Oh, yeah." Brock goes, "We don't have the money to pay for these tickets." And Jesse's like, "Oh, but it's totally free." And it's like, "Huh?" And she's like, "Totally free." And you got James in the background going,
I was, it didn't happen, but I was like low key expecting Jesse to just break at one point and go, "Take the freaking, you know, why don't you take the darn tickets, you lucky so-and-so."
I know. So, yeah, after that, they go and stand right in front of the St. Anne boat. And obviously these are actual legit tickets. And it, like, does Giovanni know that they're trying to get this Pikachu, or I mean, I guess we find out later on that there's other Team Rocket members that are gonna come on board as well. But how did they get these tickets is what I want to know.
Well, I, because it was never really explained, but I kind of rationalized it that Giovanni bought up the bulk of tickets, if not all of them. And they've steady been spending, you know, however long just distributing them out to Pokemon trainers, because everyone's a Pokemon trainer on this ship, we come to find out.
Yes. And, oh, man. Okay, so this part got me, too, when I was watching it. So Ash, Misty, and Brock are looking on at the St. Anne, in the bushes are Jesse and James going, "Oh, yeah, we got him." And James doesn't break his little schoolgirl character and goes, "Oh, but don't I make such a pretty, cute schoolgirl?" And Jesse just pounds him in the head and grabs him by the collar and just starts dragging him away.
Just like, whops him. Just bang.
So, but yeah, after this, we go into this lighthouse, which looks like it's a big like Team Rocket lighthouse, because it's fixed right into like a phone call with Giovanni, which we still don't see his face. He's still all blacked out. And Meowth hits the button. Jesse and James are in there now as well, and they talk to Giovanni about getting on this crew.
And you know, it's been a minute since I've watched these episodes, obviously. Does his voice stay modified like that the whole time, or is that something that goes away eventually?
No, it does go away.
I thought so.
once Giovanni's face gets revealed in the episode or in the series, his voice is a normal, like, boss voice, like, just big macho man voice. So, but let's kind of point the finger here. So as they're talking to Giovanni, and Giovanni is basically telling him, don't fuck up. Pershing comes into the frame, and Meowth and Pershing has this love-hate relationship. And well, not even they hate each other. And Pershing loves to rub in Meowth's face that he's the boss's favorite. And Meowth is like, oh, what is Pershing doing there? And Pershing is just looking at him and gives him the little wonky eyes, and just fucking Meowth hates it.
Yeah, I mean, and I think there's also something to be said about the fact that Pershing is the evolved form of a Meowth. So there's that big brother, little brother dynamic as well.
It's just, out of all Pokemon for Giovanni to have, he has a freaking Pershing that just pisses the fuck out of Meowth. Just, I don't know. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're 100% right. Pershing knows what it's doing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I think Meowth, you know, already has a big enough chip on his shoulder, being that it's pretty much the only Pokemon that can talk, like, actual human English.
Yes.
So it's already, even though it should be kind of put on a pedestal, it's kind of outcast. You know, we've seen in a couple episodes previously.
Giovanni doesn't care about a weak old talking Meowth. He wants some big boss-ass Pokemon.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, fair is fair. Pershing does look majestic. I mean, I'm not much of a cat person, but, you know.
It's fucking beautiful.
It is pretty slick.
But we do find out, and I completely forgot, so I'm glad we watch it and then we rewatch it. But the Team Rocket actually gave out tickets to everybody on this. So it's said in this scene that Giovanni purchased all the tickets for the St. Anne, and that all the trainers that were around got a free ticket. And Jesse and James handed out all these free tickets to all these people that are aboard this boat. And it was, I mean, we're going to find out later on when Team Rocket comes onto the boat. Spoiler alert. But yeah, so he bought all these tickets to get all these trainers on in an attempt to basically steal all these Pokemon that are on the boat.
Right.
So, I mean, that just shows you what kind of money Giovanni has.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't get to be the head of a criminal organization without having some pretty serious stuff to back you up.
Yeah. So, all right. So after that scene, we get on the boat with Ash and the gang. And from there, you see a whole bunch of trainers. And normally on a boat like this, and this is where I kind of took note a little bit to this scene. Normally on a boat like this, you would see like a bunch of like higher end trainers or trainers that have a lot of money. But in this scene, it's just a bunch of like little trainers or like trainers that might be starting off or don't have a lot of money. You see a lot of people in t-shirts. You see one guy with a little tiny little Oddish and people in just regular street clothes in this scene.
Yeah. You know, we do eventually see somebody that's a little bit higher on the social ladder.
Yes.
But yeah, I would classify this as a whole as more of an everyman gathering.
And not only that, but you and I'm kind of skimming through as You have two trainers showing off their Charmanders, and one trainer pops up in the middle and goes, well, look at my Squirtle. And all of these kids are, they look like starter trainers. They look like they're 10 years old. Yeah. So,
lest we forget, that's Ash, you know?
Yeah, I know. So, after that, we go straight into the very first Pokemon battle that is on the St. Anne. You have this adult trainer with his Raticate facing off against a pretty decent, like, teenager trainer who has a Starmie, and they start battling it off, and they hold nothing back.
Yeah, they hold nothing back, but, you know, they kind of go move for move. Raticate tries for a high kick, Starmie counters. Raticate eventually hits a Fang attack and cracks the jewel in the middle of Starmie.
Starmie gets no love in this series in the beginning.
Absolutely
of the series.
Not. I was about to say the same thing. Like if you're a trainer in this, especially in season one, and you have a Starmie, keep it hidden.
Don't show that motherfucker.
The trainer with the Raticate says, you know, that was a good battle. Don't be too upset. It was just a practice battle. So, or a exhibition or whatever he said. And I'm sitting there going, all right, if this is just a fucking scrimmage, basically, why the fuck did your rat just crack this poor Starmie, you know?
Yeah, for real. So it was after that, of course, Ash gets a big head and just wants to go in and battle now.
And I was so pissed here because he's, you know, not so much that Ash stepped up to battle, because, I mean, that's what Ash does. I mean, this wouldn't be much of a series if your main character didn't, you know, throw themselves into shit all the time. But why in the hell did he throw out Butterfree? You know, you've got Pikachu sitting right there. You've got Charmander, who you've used as nothing but a freaking basically a Swiss Army knife since you've gotten him.
Well, like, equal trainer rights. Like, he wants to train all his Pokemon. If you just send Pikachu out there all the time, how are the rest of his Pokemon going to get the experience?
Well, I suppose you're right, but I don't know. Butterfree? Really?
Yeah. And it's from there that they start battling, and we now see Jesse and James on the boat, and they have no disguise on other than being bartenders.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they don't have the hairdo that they had at the beginning, and they're just, you know, I mean, they've got, you know, staff uniforms and all that, but that's where it ends.
Yeah. So it's from here, and the battle goes and starts, and Butterfree and Raticate are actually going toe for toe.
Yeah, you know, kind of shut me up because, you know, Butterfree's out there hustling. And to make a long story short, and this made me throw my goddamn fork.
Oh, jeez.
Is, you know, Ash was about to finish off this Raticate, and the guy just walks up and just picks him up. Just, all right, that's enough.
Yeah, and that pissed me off too. He just, they're going toe for toe, and Ash gets salty. And I mean, he in his defense, it looked like he might have actually won this battle. But as he's getting ready to do his next attack, the trainer just picks him up, and Ash is like, yeah, you picked him up because you knew I was about to win.
Yeah, I mean, and he did kind of pout, but I was like, okay, I don't usually do this, but you're right, you know? I mean, because I was about to win, because he was.
He was about to win, and the trainer did not want to lose in this battle. So it is what it is, but it pissed me off. But now we get to a running joke. And what I say by running joke is this next scene is played through about maybe four times as I'm watching in the future in the series. This guy who sells James, he's a guy, and he has a Magikarp.
Right.
And he's looking at these Magikarp, and he goes, "Oh, you want this Magikarp?" And he's talking to James. "Oh, you want this Magikarp because this Magikarp will give babies to other Magikarp. And when you have these other babies, the Magikarp evolves into a great old Gyarados. And you can sell these Magikarp for millions and millions of dollars."
Millions of dollars.
Sorry, wrestling reference.
It doesn't help that I did it when I was watching the episode by myself. So if anybody would have poked their head through through my window or something, I would have looked like an idiot. But yeah, I mean, well, this guy's math is fucked in the first place.
Yeah.
I mean, and we don't have to go into it, but his math is fucked. And James is just eating this up hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, yeah. James is eating all of this up. So he's like, "Ooh, a Magikarp? Ooh, I can make millions and millions of dollars." And first off, if you can make millions and millions of dollars, why the fuck would you be selling the Magikarp? Why wouldn't you? Okay. And do you not know about Magikarp?
We've established in the 14 episodes we've done this, James is an idiot.
Yeah.
Period, end of sentence.
So he talks James into getting the Raticate and Magikarp. And then, because I was getting ready to say the who's that Pokemon, because we didn't give it at the beginning of the episode, but it is Raticate.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Yes.
The who's that Pokemon in this episode is indeed Raticate.
Oh, interesting.
So this seller sells James this Magikarp and basically takes all his money. But what I was getting at right at the beginning of this is this same guy comes back in the series like four more times after this episode. And his main thing is he cons Team Rocket.
He comes back. But yet we can't get freaking AJ or who is somebody else we wanted to come back, hasn't come back.
We don't get AJ to come back. We don't get the kid from the school to come back.
Yeah, him. I mean, that was one of them. You know, and there's a couple. But so the vendor that is pulling fast ones comes back four times, but we can't get an actual fleshed out character.
Yes.
Swell.
So, all right. So after commercial break, we come back to the episode and Ash, Misty, Brock, and Pikachu are on the boat. And of course, with being on the boat, you get unlimited food. So you can eat your heart out. It doesn't matter. You can eat until you're nice and full and then you can eat some more. And Ash and the gang are just chowing down.
Side note, RIP buffets. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're just eating like they're not gonna, you know, they're going to the electric chair. I mean, they're just fucking chowing. And this guy, the guy from the battle with the top hat comes up
with his wife, or I think it's either his wife or his escort.
I'm gonna take the benefit of the doubt and I'm gonna say wife.
Okay.
Or at the very least, girlfriend.
I'm gonna go escort. Well, the kids shouldn't be listening to this anyway. So that's what I'm gonna call her.
They've turned off now.
But we come back and he comes up over to Ash and immediately. Brock is just smitten by this guy's wife or escort or what you call it. And you said friend. And he comes over and says, "Your Butterfree is a magnificent Pokemon. And one way that trainers go around in this world is by trading Pokemon. You get you basically gain friendships, and you learn more about Pokemon by trading your Pokemon. And I would like to trade you my Raticate for your beautiful Butterfree. And Ash is kind of like, I'm not really sure. So what does he do? He goes and asks Brock, who is smitten, over.
This was the line. This was it. I could have stopped the episode. I would have been perfectly fine. It wasn't going to get any better than this.
So I want to get the actual line that Brock says in this. Let's see. Hold on. Okay. So he asks Brock. He's like, okay, Brock, should I trade my Butterfree for this Raticate? He goes, yeah, trade your Butterfree. Everybody's trade. Let's all trade.
I died.
But it didn't stop there. The girl was like, yeah, you gain really good friendships when you trade Pokemon. And Brock puts both of his fists up in the air and goes, yeah. Hold on. I wanna say it the way he says it. He's like, yeah, friendship. Let's me and you start a friendship right now.
I was done.
I was like, oh man, this is like horned up Brock, like to the max. Like Brock gave no shits.
No, I mean, he was just like, I'm on a boat. This woman's hot. She technically has nowhere to go.
Obviously, she's an escort.
Now you quit that. He shouldn't know about that either. He's only 15.
He watches TV after 10 o'clock at night on Comedy Central.
No, they don't do that anymore.
I know, but this was made in the 90s. he watches HBO after 9.
Yeah, well, they don't even do that anymore.
Oh, shit. They got rid of all the good shit that we grew up on.
Dude, it's completely
How do they not have Skinamax anymore?
Dude, I don't know. It's all straight movies, man. They don't fuck around with that stuff anymore.
Oh, man. I remember watching some stuff as a horned up teenager back in the day. But that's neither here nor there. Man, I can't believe they got rid of that shit. But yeah, Brock is the one that talks 10-year-old Ash, who knows nothing about trading. He is now being introduced to trading. Butterfree was basically the very first Pokemon that he's caught. And he is just, oh, okay, well, Brock, if you think I should trade this Pokemon, I mean, I'll go ahead and trade it for Raticate. And they walk over to that nice little machine that they had there. And this is like kind of a callback to the video game, because the animation they used in this was straight out of Pokemon Red and Blue.
Yeah, I mean, this was, you know, there might have well been some kind of cable involved with how much of a throwback this was.
Yeah, you remember those old USB cables that you would hook up to your Game Boy back in the day to trade Pokemon?
Oh, for sure.
Like, were you... a child to be blessed with at least 2 Game Boys so you can at least trade back and forth with yourself? Or,
well, I had
or was it your brother?
I was going to say I did have a brother, but every now and again he would be off doing something and I'd snag it for a couple minutes.
were you the brother that stole his Pokemon?
No. I can honestly say I never stole. If he didn't want to do something, we wouldn't do it. But I would take his Game Boy from time to time and be like, I need to do this real quick to accomplish this or something. Like, I need to trade you and then trade back so my Pokemon would evolve.
I remember back in the day that, and I'm pretty sure they still do it now, but I mean, I kind of cheat in my DS games. I can't really do that with the Nintendo Switch like I first attempted to do. Had to buy a whole brand new Switch because I hacked the first Switch, got banned off online, and can't really play the Pokemon events that go on with the new game.
Yes, you're a dirty cheat.
Yes, I'm a dirty cheater. But yeah, they go over to this big machine and they swap the Pokemon. You see the Raticate and the Butterfree go through the machine, and then the balls replace each other on each side, and Ash takes it. And Ash still at this point does not feel comfortable with having the new Pokemon, the new Raticate.
He wasn't comfortable for 1 second.
No.
He, you know.
And I blame Brock. Brock and his damn penis. Like,
well, yes and no. I mean, at the end of the day, it is Ash's decision.
He's 10 years old.
That's enough.
Is it really?
The shit he's been through, yeah.
So you're telling me, okay, so that's like me going over to my son. So me, and I'll put the curtain back a little bit. So me and my son play Pokemon Go. We are hardcore Pokemon Go, like family, like me and my son.
Right.
And my son, in Pokemon Go, they give you Stardust for every time you catch a Pokemon. And my son got to the point where he wasn't kind of being smart with his Stardust. So you can either use your Stardust and trade Pokemon and you'll lose Stardust that way, or you can power up your Pokemon and lose Stardust that way. My son, about maybe a month and a half ago, got down. He had like 500,000 Stardust. I'll just put that number out there. He got down to 46 Stardust by powering up all his Pokemon. And then came over to me and wanted to trade Pokemon with me. I was like, bro, I was like, you used up all your Stardust. Why'd you do that? He's like, I didn't know that that's what it was doing. I was like, yeah, you used it all up. So he finally got all his Stardust back. And he's now wanting to trade Pokemon with me, Pokemon that I don't have, Pokemon that he don't have. But that's like me taking his Mewtwo and giving him a Machamp. Like, that's completely taking advantage of a trainer. Like, I can get any Pokemon off of my son because my son is like, oh, I'm all team dad. I'll get my dad anything to make him happy, and I'll get a Pokemon that I don't have. But he's not thinking of the value of the Pokemon.
Yeah, but he also has to have some kind of understanding that you're not going to kick him in his dick about it.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, I don't think that a Butterfree for Eradicate is a bad trade.
It's not, but with Butterfree being your very first Pokemon and you only have 7 Pokemon.
Well, no, and I understand that. But that's where you kind of have to decide. Are you going to keep your emotions in it? Or are you just going to try to be the best trainer and, you know, just treat them as they are as Pokemon? I mean, it's the same in, you know, baseball or basketball when people get traded. You know, fans are pissed because they've committed to these players and they just, you know, they watch him come and go every year. You know, the old saying is you don't really root for a player. You root for a couple of pieces of laundry.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah.
Like LeBron's on the Lakers, right?
Yes.
And he's doing great, right? Like, they're a win away from making the finals. Were you rooting for LeBron 5 years ago when he was fucking, wait, let's see, 16, when he was with Miami?
Yes.
Bullshit.
Okay. No, I was not.
Right.
So,
but, you know, LeBron's on the Lakers now, and because the Lakers are doing well, you're like, oh, fuck yeah, I'll walk through fire for LeBron and, you know, all that stuff. But if he were to leave next, which he won't, because obviously he's in L.A., he's where he wants to be, he's making Space Jam 2, all that stuff.
Is Space Jam 2 actually even a thing?
I think so. I mean, I don't know where it is now with everything. You know, the last 6 months have kind of been stupid. But, yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Okay.
Because he was putting stuff on Instagram, like, from set and stuff all the time.
Oh, okay. So.
But, yeah. All right. So, yeah, Ash was kind of thinking with his heart, and he was hurt immediately.
And Brock was thinking with his dick and got nothing for it.
And got nothing. I don't even think we see that girl again.
No, we don't. Oh, we do. We do. Later on, but we'll get back to that. So we immediately go into Jesse berating a dumbass James who spent all of their hard-earned money on a damn flopping around match card. Just hilarious.
Yeah, and I mean, it would be one thing if it was just his money, but he took her advance as well, so she's like doubly pissed now.
Well, hers and Meowth's. Because Meowth gets money too for some odd reason.
Yeah, I never quite figured that out. I just kind of moved on. So she's like, you go back there and get my money back for this stupid fish, you idiot.
So, and not even just that, but he James thinks that he's like top shit because he has a gold Pokeball that the Magikarp came in and Meowth goes, that's not gold, that's gold plated. And he just scratches it and James' face is just astonished. He's like, did you just scratch my gold Pokeball?
For some reason, I have like the most vivid memory of this line. I don't know why, but like as it was coming up, I got like it's just a throwaway line, but I got goosebumps. I was like, okay, why are you sticking with me? Like I remember me out going, it's not gold, it's gold plated. He fucking swipes it. So I don't know. Memories are weird.
So, but yeah, it's just funny. It just. Yeah, Jesse goes, you better give me or go get our money back. She punches him and his tooth flies out of his mouth and she's just pounding the fuck. There's a lot of violence within this first season.
Yes, very much, especially to James. But we've established James is an idiot.
Yeah, well, you get male on female violence. You get male and female on animal violence. You get animal cruelty. You get all that in this first season. I don't think you really get. I mean, they're not as hardcore later on because I believe the U.S. basically told the Pokemon, like, yo, we're airing these episodes to kids. You gotta kind of tone it down in the second season.
You gotta calm down on that shit.
So. All right, but from there, we go to Ash looking out of a window at his Raticate Pokeball, just kind of thinking and kind of down, and Misty comes over, and Ash is like, I'm not sure if I should have traded my Butterfree. Butterfree was my first Pokemon.
And, you know, and I'm sitting there going, you couldn't have thought of this as you were fucking doing it. Like... So. Nope, you're not going to sit there and tell me that he was pressured into doing this trade.
No, he wasn't. He's a young kid. He doesn't know much about trading. He was kind of cornered because this guy comes up who's a very grown adult. And you can't tell me he's not an adult. So he's a very grown adult, comes up to this kid and goes, I want your Butterfree. I'll give you my Raticate. And you got Brock, who it seems like Ash kind of looks up to for advice and stuff. And Brock goes, yeah, go ahead and do it. And now he has this Raticate. He doesn't want the Raticate anymore.
Right.
So, I mean, I do kind of feel for Ash. I mean, yes, it is his fault. But
well, it's nobody's fault. It's just, you know,
circumstances.
I understand buyer's remorse is a thing, but yeah, you should have this if you're that attached to your Pokemon, which we have established that he is, because, yes, you know, he saved Pikachu's life. He just had a heart to heart with Pikachu, you know, before this gym battle.
Yes.
You know, these feelings aren't out of nowhere. You know, Ash should have had on hand, oh, let me take a step back. Butterfree was my first Pokemon. Maybe I don't want to make this move. You know, I it's not that I feel bad. And I mean, you know, skipping ahead a little bit, obviously it all comes out in the wash anyway.
Yes.
It's just, I wasn't a big fan of this whole woe is me, I want my Butterfree back stuff.
That's true. So after his talk with Misty, because his go-to is kind of, is that trainer going to care for my Butterfree the same way I cared for my Butterfree?
Right. Once again, putting his feelings into it.
Yes.
You know.
So from that talk, we don't really get a definitive what's going to happen next with Ash. We jump into what looks like Giovanni is looking at all the cameras that he has set up on this St. Anne boat, which I'm starting to think that this is his boat, because how does he have all these cameras on this boat?
It could be.
Yeah.
Which would explain why he was able to just... Well, no, because James asked him, he's like, should we really be giving these tickets away for free? And he said it's a mere drop in a bucket.
Yeah, true. So, Giovanni is looking off inside of this boat. And what we don't know yet is he has a plan that's getting ready to drop. So he's waiting for his plan to drop, which is going to be Team Rocket jumping on top of this boat and trying to get all these Pokemon from all these trainers, which is the next scene.
Right. So, you know, James is very unenthusiastically in the process of trying to track down this vendor that, you know, sold him essentially the bag of beans.
Yes.
And Jesse's like, you know, you snap out of it. We've got work to do. And it's about at that point that shit starts kicking off. You know, the jabronis from Team Rocket come in. And the first couple of people here were idiots because they just walk up to him and give me your Pokemon. Like, fuck off, dude.
Yeah, for real. And the guys are like, well, don't make me take these Pokemon from you. And of course, Ash is the first one to speak up amongst all of this and go, well, if you're going to try to take our Pokemon, then you know what? We're going to battle you. And then everybody, well, actually first, Team Rocket has these like little suction jet things on, and they're sucking all the trainers' Pokeballs into their backpack. So as they're doing this, Ash is like, you're not going to take my Pokemon. Let's all battle. And they all start battling on top of this boat.
There's, you know, groups of Charmanders and groups of Bulbasaurs and
a lot of Pikachus.
Which I swear they reused this exact clip from
the second episode.
Yes. Okay. So I'm not crazy.
No. So people, in anime, you will see from time to time certain clips used from the past in a future episode, and they would hope that you don't catch it. But this was a blatant, obvious one because it was a bunch of Pikachus jumping out of a box from the second episode, and they're using that clip on this episode.
Yeah, I mean, I was paying attention, but I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't like scribbling down notes. And even I was like, I've seen that clip.
Yes. So Ash sends out Pikachu, and then he goes on his belt and he throws out and calls out for Butterfree, but realizes that it's not Butterfree, it's Raticate, because he had traded his Butterfree earlier in this episode.
And I know I was supposed to have a moment where I went, aw, but my knee-jerk thought was, you idiot, you knew, you just had a discussion with Misty, but you knew you had Eradicate in that Pokeball.
Yeah. So, and it's from there, this whole battle's going on, but of course, Ash being in his feelings, I don't see how he had this moment. So he looks down at the Raticate and kind of reminisces on catching Caterpie and having Caterpie evolve into Metapod and having Metapod evolve into a Butterfree, all within this time frame that Team Rocket is trying to steal Pokemon.
Right. Like, he's... the fuck, it's fucking chaos around him, and he's just having a goddamn montage.
Yes. But let's talk about some of these scenes. Like, you have all these Charmanders blowing fire at Team Rocket. You have a bunch of Geodudes holding hands and hitting Team Rocket. You got Bulbasaurs with their Vine Whips. You have all these Pikachus thunder shocking. Like, it's complete chaos. Like, and there's even a montage of Pidgey and Pidgeotto getting a big gigantic tornado with their Gusts and just knocking the fuck out of Team Rocket.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a big old melee going on, you know, and it's real convenient that about seven people happen to have, you know, the same Pokemon on this ship.
Yes.
And it's just a bunch of random pyramids of Pokemon.
So as this is going on, there's a big storm, or after they knock out Team Rocket with all of their Pokemon, and Team Rocket goes flying off of the boat, there's a big storm brewing on the outside, and the captain basically goes, "Hey, if you're anybody, you need to get off of this boat now. This boat's about to capsize and I can't help it, but I don't know. Like, how are all these trainers going to be on like little floaty boats if this big ass boat is not even capable of withstanding the storm?"
Well, this was just screaming of the Titanic at this point, because, yes, you know, you have people saying, you know, abandoned ship, and I think at one point the freaking captain was cornered, and he's like, "Well, this is unsinkable." And at that point, I threw my hands up. I was like, "This is the Titanic."
Yes.
So yeah, you know, we see in a little bit that there is a decent amount of lifeboats out. There's no way it's everybody.
Yeah. And so, but it's funny because as the captain is talking about this, he's on a lifeboat. So he's getting ready to put himself into the water without anybody following behind him because he's a dick. And as this is going on, Ash finds the trainer that he traded his Butterfree for the Raticate, and talks the trainer into trading back the Butterfree for the Raticate, and the trainer obliges. He's kind of irritated because he had all these plans for Butterfree, but he kindly gives it back to Ash.
Yeah, and see, that's the other thing. The man could have, you know, put his foot down and said, "No, I mean, trade is final, and there's like a 48-hour grace period or whatever, this, that, and the other boilerplate stuff," but he was like, "You know what? Fine." So, and I think it was basically because Ash kind of put himself at this guy's mercy, and, you know, I didn't get the impression that this guy cared one way or the other. It's not like, "Oh boy, I get my Raticate back," you know.
Yeah, I don't think he really cared too much. So, yeah, he trades the Pokemon, and then we no longer see the guy. After this happens, the captain is getting into the water. All the trainers are rushing for their life. What are those called?
Lifeboats.
Lifeboats. So they're there for the lifeboats. Misty and Brock run back because they were out there getting ready to get on the lifeboat, but they didn't have Ash. So they run back. Ash and this mysterious guy completes their trade. They say, okay, we need to get off this boat. This boat is going down. We have to go now. And as this is going on, the boat kind of tilts a little bit, and Ash drops his Butterfree. So if I'm Butterfree, I'm pissed right now. You just traded me off. You got me back, and now you just dropped me. Like, what the fuck?
Because we've established that, you know, these Pokemon are kind of in a weird state when they're in Pokeballs.
Yes. But as of this same moment, I guess the same thing happened to James, because James dropped his Magikarp in the Golden Pokeball, and that's running away as well. And Team Rocket is running after the ball because they need that Pokeball to find this guy that sold them the Magikarp so they can get their money back. So this is a big just shit show.
So they basically both track down their respective Pokeballs at the same time. All six of them, well, seven, I guess, with Pikachu, bang into the wall at the same time. All knock themselves out.
Yes.
Everybody.
They all hit their head.
Everybody else is off the ship. The captain is doing a very shoddy head count. And at that point, that's when the narrator shoots in, because he says, "Is everybody off?" And you know, if everybody, how did he say it? Because it was stupid.
He said, "If everyone is not off the boat, say I."
And everybody and then, just kind of sat there. I was like, "What the fuck?" I would have said I. I'm still on the boat, Cap.
But this was legit a sad ending to this episode, because this is how we end this part one, because we basically have the ship falls over, both Team Rocket and Ash, Misty, Brock, and Pikachu all go flying up against the wall. They all hit their heads, and as they hit their heads, they are knocked out. And so,
you know, like I say, the narrator kind of takes the ball, because the captain's kind of like, "Good, everybody's off." And the narrator goes, "Not everybody, Captain." And he's like, you know, as the boats begin, because we can see the boat has, you know, officially capsized and is beginning to sink.
Yes.
And he kind of wraps it up. He's like, "Our heroes are trapped.
Could this be the end?"
And I'm sitting there going, this would be a motherfucker if you're a kid.
I know.
And you're getting ready for, heaven forbid, you were in a market where this went on before school.
What if you're about to go onto a boat and you watch this episode?
Well, that's like me watching Final Destination 3 the day before we went to Six Flags that one year.
Oh, man. I didn't know you did that.
I've told you that five times since we've done that. I've told you that.
Well, you know, hit my head a few times.
So. This is true, but that's you can't keep going to that excuse.
It's that's this week's episode, and we're left as on a cliffhanger. This episode again was called Battle Aboard the St. Anne, and next week's episode is called Pokemon Shipwreck. And you're listening to this episode, and I know last week we kind of left you on a cliffhanger podcast-wise, where we kind of were throwing around ideas whether we wanted to basically throw both episodes out at the same time or not. And kindly, we're going to keep, because if we do that, we're going to start a trend. And we can't do that with every single two-parter episode, because we will have no back catalog at that point. So at this point, we are going to keep up the every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Central Time for you to be able to listen to the episode. So you'll have to wait until next Saturday to listen to this episode.
I don't want to hear you cussing. Now I can hear you from here. Now I don't want to hear it.
I know.
You know, you knew what you were getting into. You knew it was a possibility.
Yes. But you know, trust.
And yeah, yeah, you're probably sitting there going, you know, kids, when they watch the episode, they only had to wait a day, you know, to see what happened. Well,
that's not us.
Tough titties.
Yes. Yeah. Tough titty.
That's podcasting. You know, if we drop two episodes now, we have to drop three episodes when we do the psychic arc, and we don't want to do that because that's a good chunk, and you know that's 3 hours in one shot, and then you know,
yeah, that's not good for anybody.
So yeah, Granny Barrett, come back next week. We'll have the thrilling conclusion. We'll probably be having the same discussion next week about why didn't you drop this one and the giant Pokemon together? Because it's basically a continuation, but it's not listed as a part three. So shut up.
And there you go. That's Doug telling everybody to shut up and just enjoy this podcast. It builds anticipation.
Yes. The payoff is going to be that much sweeter when you come back next week, when you see that episode drop in your feed. You're going to be happy that you waited, because, you know, we're excited to bring it to you on a weekly basis. You know, we can see by the numbers that we're getting out there that you're excited to listen. We know you'll come back, and I don't mean to sound cocky, but you know, who the hell is going to leave on a cliffhanger like this?
No, don't jinx them now. They'll be like, well, fuck you. We're going to fuck with your numbers next week.
No, he comes in a couple of episodes from now.
From this going on, we're going to end this episode. Just if you haven't hit that subscribe button, follow us at Pookie Breakdown on Twitter. So go ahead and give us a nice little follow. We also are active on Reddit under podcast sharing. You can find us on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, basically anywhere you can get a podcast. We are there. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button on whatever you do. Leave us any type of comments that you want, where we appreciate 5-star comments on iTunes to get the word out so more people can listen. So yeah,
that's pretty much it.
And hopefully me and Doug have been throwing around some ideas. We do have a Patreon currently. Right now everything is free. I just want to give everybody a notice. Once we hit into the, I believe it'll be around between 24 to 28, somewhere between those episodes. Episodes will drop one by one, and they'll only be accessible on the Patreon feed. So if you're listening to this in the future and you want to listen to some of these episodes, go ahead and hit up our Patreon at patreon.com/everypokemon. Our whole catalog is there, so you'll be able to listen. And we will be doing future movies on there as well, so which will be exclusive to our Patreon feed, which we won't fuck with our regular feed. The free feed is what I'm going to call it.
Right.
So, yeah, we have some ideas that we're going to be throwing around to make the Patreon worth going for, but right now it's free. Go over there. The whole catalog is free. You don't even have to subscribe to our Patreon as of right now, even though we would encourage you to, because you'll get an RSS feed button. But right now you can go on there and you can click play. You have to have the Patreon app to be able to listen that way, but you'll be able to listen to all of our episodes dating back to episode number one. But currently, as you're listening to this right now, you don't have that problem because every single episode is still on all of our platforms. So I just want to give everybody a heads up that sooner or later, they will start dropping like flies. And the only way to get them is on Patreon. So, all right. Anything else that you want to put out there, good old Dougie Fresh?
No, I don't think so. I'm just excited You know, we're in a pretty decent stretch. We've been in it for a while. I feel like these episodes just kind of keep ramping up. I feel like the show Pokemon. I've had enough of patting ourselves on the back. Pokemon itself, I feel like, is kind of hitting its groove in terms of a show. And I feel like that.
It's not going to do anything but help all of us.
No, yeah, it makes these episodes easier to do. Because we're not struggling as much to come up with stuff to talk about other than X and Y and Z happened and then we moved on. It's real easy to do these shows.
Yes. It's a lot easier than doing episode 1 and 2 that we done that we did back in the past. So I mean, I'm glad we got our groove going. Hopefully our groove gets even better. Hey Doug, I'll let you give your old goodbye, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
All right. And this is Wrestling Chris G telling you, make sure you tune in next week for part 2, because who only watches a part 1 of a 2-part series?
Right.
So, all right, next week's episode is called Pokemon Shipwreck, or translated from Japanese, it's called Pokemon Adrift. So make sure you get a good listen, hit that subscribe button, and we will see you again next week. Have a good night, everybody.